You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Hey, Drew Scott here.
And I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price and help you save when you bundle home and auto. Kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
Can I get something wrongfully attributed to me? How about Miami's going to the Big Ten? It's just become that. Big Ten's number one in revenue, by the way. ACC f***ing sucks at business. They suck. They're tied into this ESPN deal until 2035. No foresight, no vision, terrible leadership within this conference. They just signed bad deal after bad deal, and they keep trying to sell it to their schools, and it's an embarrassment. ACC fucking sucks. And I know a lot of people at Miami that like the ACC. I don't fucking understand why. It's terrible. They're six. How the f*** are you behind the Pac-12 in revenue? How? You have Clemson. You have Florida State. I have won like 10 years ago. How?
Because you only have Clemson.
No one watches the Pac-12. The Pac-12 hasn't had Washington made a playoff, but their TV package is at 10-15. The West Coast is watching SEC football.
They own their own network too.
Big Ten also does. Like that's where the big revenue play is. Yeah. Like it's just
ESPN created one for the ACC, whereas the Big Ten created their own, and then Fox bought into it, and then the Pac-12. Although the Pac-12 is like they had all these designs on what they were going to be.
Yeah.
And then they booted out their commissioner because they weren't that. Mm-hmm. So
and they still make more than the ACC.
Yeah.
If I'm Notre Dame, no wonder I don't join. Get your fucking house in order. Notre Dame can make more like that on their own. They probably do.
I think they definitely have found that the pros outweigh the cons of staying independent.
How do you guys feel about a shouted, get your house in order? A good, robust...
Get your house in order.
It's a very dad thing to say.
Get your shit.
Giant bust of right? The whole ACC experiment, trying to go in and dominate this, ever winning the conference, and then leaving to go to another one.
So, believe it or not, Billy, I was prepared for this take of yours.
It's the truth. It's not a take. It's 100%. A fact. Wait, let me ask you something, since it's my opinion. How many times have they won the championship in the ACC?
In football, zero. In football, okay, zero.
In men's basketball, once.
And you know what, Billy? I 100% agree. It's been a disaster from a football. They've qualified for the ACC championship twice. They've gone to it once because they self-penalized. If the number was six times that they had qualified, I would still tell you that's embarrassing.
The other crazy thing is that Miami hasn't even, they've had one 10-win season in the ACC. Like they can't even win double-digit games in a season.
It's been an embarrassment. It's been bad. That being said, I've seen some people with a take of why would the Big Ten even want Miami? Get out of here with that. This is one of the more successful, still one of the most talked about, one of the best rated, greatest brands in American sports. Flatly, they still pull. Their social media metrics are off the freaking chain. People care about the University of Miami program. They're in Florida. If you're the Big Ten, it's a no-brainer to go after Miami.
It's weird to me. The other day when we were talking about Texas and Oklahoma, and I was saying that those brands had been holding up a bogus conference for a long time, it's strange to me that people think that we're talking about winning or championships or that kind of relevance, because it's indisputable that Miami for 20 years has been largely irrelevant winning games. And it's still one of the signature brands in the sport, the same way that Texas is the biggest money in the sport. And it almost makes it irrelevant whether those programs are winning or not. Notre Dame is one of the original streaming services where they figured out we can get our own network even if we haven't done shit for decades. If we haven't done anything, if it's just based, I'm talking about everything. I'm talking about everything pre and post Lou Holtz, when they had Jerry Faust out there coaching their team and they were losing to Miami 56-7, and Ara Parseghian is screaming at everyone listening that it's unfair that Miami is sending its third team to block punts.
Yeah.
Notre Dame, when they signed the NBC deal originally, though, it was like 2 years after they won the national championship. It wasn't in the midst of their irrelevancy. And they've just continued to re-up that deal since the early 90s. And it makes them less money than if they joined the ACC, but they also get to play a national schedule, which is what Notre Dame wants.
Woody, you called games for Miami football and basketball. You went there. You have a degree from there. Internally, given where they were with the Big East, they still have the memories of what the ACC did to their business model. And I don't think they can see the forest through the trees and that the ACC has been lagging behind. The fact that we're going to enter another football season and the ACC network does not have a distribution deal with Comcast Xfinity is a blight. How does that happen? It's almost as if the money's too good to say no. You don't know that the grass is greener. The ACC has not been forward thinking at all.
Well, that ACC network thing, I think, goes to prove why the ACC is towards the bottom of the economic generators amongst major conferences, because there just isn't enough pull in the strength of the conference, right? Like, I don't think Comcast is looking at, man, we really need NC State, Georgia Tech on our cable package. Like the power of ESPN trying to include it in their bundle, in theory, should get every channel that they have underneath it cleared. ESPN News is still cleared, despite not having original programming for 5 years other than the radio lineup, which
I've
is now
Pac-12.
On ESPN Plus.
I've got right? Pac-12.
Well, I don't. I'm AT&T, so I don't. I think I might have it in standard def or something like that.
I hear you. What's the draw for me to see the Big Ten Network? What is the big
they've
games?
They just
are,
managed to get it cleared throughout the country.
They have. Their
Ohio
leadership,
State, Michigan, they're, Michigan, Michigan State. Like they have.
But
no.
I never miss those games.
Penn State, Nebraska. Right.
Yeah.
I never miss those games.
Wisconsin. Yeah.
I never miss those games though. There's never an exclusive game. They put
Illinois.
Miami. Because they know Miami's a draw. They put Miami exclusive on this. The Big Ten found a way to get cleared on Comcast.
They also did it a decade earlier when the cable economy was much better.
But they were also forward thinking in that.
Yeah,
like,
I agree.
Miami,
Big Ten was first.
ACC was tailing behind everything. There hasn't been forward thinking leadership in this conference. And it's a shame because they have brands, whether it be in college basketball or college football, that should put them right there with the SEC.
Well, I thought that their conference network was going to be better because of the basketball lineup that they have. The low-key storyline of all of these conference networks is that the football on it kind of sucks. Yeah. It's a whole lot of Missouri-Kentucky on
Chris,
the SEC
you
network.
Just said something shocking that's just a fact that Miami has won the ACC more in basketball than they have in football. If you told me when they went to the ACC that that was possible, I would have bet everything I had that that couldn't have been in any way possible. What I also didn't think was possible today is that today is the day that we decided, and I don't think this was as a show something that was decided, to become just addicted and obsessed to talking business and conferences and
love
streaming.
It.
We have been a business show today for some reason, talking about the economy of the entertainment business that we reside in, because this is the content golden age. And all what you have happening here is basically a whole bunch of John Swoffords who did not see the streaming age coming and weren't forward thinking on, wait a minute, in college sports, we have this unbelievable value where we could just make all the money off the players. Like they just realized $1 million for our quarterback at Alabama that they have been hogging all this money for a long time. And now we all see, wait a minute, this money's all over the place. And who was ahead and who wasn't in this game? And it's not like Texas and Oklahoma were ahead. They got here late too, but they're first right now rushing into the SEC. Wait a minute. Lane Kiffin and Mike Leach and all these guys are going to get the money? Fuck that. We're not going to let the grifters get all the money. We're going to go get some of the money.
I wonder if, Whittingham, something you just said made me kind of want to squat on this take. So if the SEC network is a lot of like Kentucky versus Arkansas or whatever, I wonder if those SEC schools that maybe aren't blue chip programs still have big enough fan bases that they get a lot of attention. And I wonder if the ACC lacks nationally recognized rivalry games that are not top tier like blue chip programs like Clemson and Florida State. Like I can't really name a lot of big ACC rivalry games that are, like, you know, they may be big to me because I watch a lot of ACC football, but like people care about outside of that.
Well, I mean, the ACC would put those games on ESPN and ABC, right? They just wouldn't put it on the ACC network, right, which is part of the point. But also, like, there is just more, I would say, just a fervent support among for SEC football, where like people in the South will cancel their cable subscription if they don't get the SEC network. I'm just not sure any of that exists unless, you know, ESPN decided to put Duke basketball against North Carolina basketball on the ACC network and say you can only watch it. Then I think you get a little bit of a stink, but it's kind of back to the Peacock thing we discussed earlier, which is exclusivity also annoys your customers.
Clemson versus Florida State matters. Miami versus Florida State always matters. Clemson against anybody should matter. It's just, what has the ACC done right is what I'm going to ask you, because you're not guaranteed Clemson playing some of the programs, the good programs on the other side of the division, right? They don't allow Notre Dame in the, they can't work out the deal with Notre Dame in the conference. Okay, we'll take the deal. You'll have your basketball programs and you'll play like Wake Forest. Like, they'll take that. They won't allow West Virginia in, but they'll allow Louisville in when their academics are similar. Like, they're behind on the TV deals. They're behind on the TV clearance. They can't work this deal out with Notre Dame. They're last in revenue among the Power Five. What do they do right?
We've got a terrible tension in here, and I imagine the audience is experiencing it right now. Chris and Jessica and Mike care deeply about conference talk. Chris Cody and Billy and Roy, I don't feel like are here in any way for conference talk. Not conference business talk, not conference talk, not ACC talk, not anything.
Not a big cock guy, but I do agree with you guys that football's back. Conference talk.
We weren't even talking about Peacock.
That was forced. You're editing.
Conference talk. Cock.
Yeah.
Oh,
you guys are lagging behind.
He's
here.
Not. I'm with Chris.
I keep up, guys.
Bad.
It sounded like you said cock.
That was the
not
joke.
Cock.
That was the joke.
That was the joke.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Like caulking?
Chris is on another level, guys. Catch up.
Where is Chris Whittingham saying that word his way so that we can put a bow on this conference talk, his echoey way where he, what were you trying to say? You were talking Peacock at the time, right?
I was saying that I'm with you. I don't love cock, but I do get from this conversation that football's back. And that makes me happy.
I do have evidence to the contrary about you and on the cock front, Chris. This was from earlier in the show.
It's worse than that. I want you guys to understand. We have started off with.
You're welcome.
It's like a porn from the future.
Whether you hydrate to live or live to hydrate, Liquid IV quenches your thirst faster than water alone. With three times the electrolytes of the lead in sports drink plus eight vitamins and nutrients for everyday wellness, all in a single sugar-free stick. Are you heading to the airport on a long flight? Or do you need something after your flag football game? Well, if I was you, I would definitely go with Liquid IV just for the electrolytes so you don't feel run down. And I know for me, Liquid IV helps me start my day in the morning, and it helps give me the energy to do stuff like cut my yard and wash my car and work out and just face the day. And you can get your energy back while drinking something that's delicious. And when I say delicious, you can pick from flavors like pear, white peach, green grape, lemon lime, and more. Liquid IV is non-GMO, free from gluten, dairy, and soy. However you hydrate, grab your Liquid IV Hydration Multiplier sugar-free in bulk nationwide at Costco, or get 20% off your first order when you go to liquidiv.com and use code DAN at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration using code DAN today at liquidiv.com.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Don Levitard.
The Clevelander Hotel sits on a famous strip of land, and it's a party palace. There are sometimes these conventions that roll through here that are terrifying. A couple of weeks ago was the Bitcoin people.
Stugats.
They call the event 70,000 tons of metal.
It's more than that.
It's a lot of metal, man.
I mean, listen to me, Roy. I love Miami. That music has made me consider moving.
You're talking about more of like the... Like that.
This is the Don Levitard Show with the Stugats.
I wanted to get this in earlier, and I was unsuccessful because I was describing it as the single worst football analysis mistake I had ever seen anywhere. And I wanted to bring in Renee Montgomery and just ask her what she thinks. Omar Kelly of the Sun Sentinel. I don't know if you guys saw this, but it was a very bad decision that he made. And he's been a very good reporter for a long time, but he was talking about Justin Herbert and he's being compared to Tua. And he's saying that Dolphin fans shouldn't do that to Tua. And his analysis was, love the one you're with. I dated hot women before marrying my wife.
Oh,
that's the correct reaction, Renee. No, you don't really need to say anything else, but you can if you like. But that is the correct reaction. Yes, it was. I also winced. I'm like, you cannot. His wife caught a stray there. That is not right or fair or just. He is coming home apologizing with flowers on his hands and knees, I think, right? That can't be what just happened there.
That is that he didn't think that through. I mean, like, I was scared hearing him say that. I would like to say that I have been with people, but I haven't been with nobody before. Look, my fiance, she don't even like to hear that I was with humans before. So for the fact of him to say I was with humans before and then have the nerve to acknowledge that they could have been considered attractive. I'm not even going to say that they're that. They could have been considered attractive. Ooh, buddy. Like, he didn't think that through. That's scary. Like, I'm scared.
What needs to happen? Because I do have fear. I had fear for Omar Kelly coming home and that he had earned and deserved whatever it is that arrived at his doorstep when he came home. Or is it possible that somewhere his wife loves and accepts her man so much that she understands? I don't know. Can love be that big?
Listen, I have to believe that she knows who she married. This can't be the first time he says some wild stuff like that, because him to say that while somebody's recording, like, not even on accident.
He tweeted it. That was a choice that he made.
He's made a lot of choices on Twitter.
That was edited.
So it's like when Kim Kardashian had to deal with Kanye, you know that he's going to have, you must have to know that that's built in, that you have to deal with that, because that's scary. He's playing dangerous games. That's all I'll say. That's a dangerous game he's playing.
You like LeBron James. You like that he is always making giant business moves. He seems to have made what he thinks is a mistake on Twitter, because he deleted a post that read, because they've got Carmelo now and a bunch of old guys, keep talking about my squad, our personnel ages, the way he plays, he stays injured, we're past our prime in this league, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Do me one favor, please, capital letters, a lot of exclamation points, and I mean please, again, capital letters, a lot of exclamation points. Keep the same narrative energy when it begins. That's all I ask. Hashtag thank you. Why did he delete that? What happened? Why wouldn't you just stand by that?
Ooh, I mean, I feel like he wouldn't have deleted it for himself. You know, I think that he was deleting it maybe out of respect for the other guys, because I think that LeBron would say that with his chest tomorrow. You know, like, basically all he's saying is keep that same energy, but, you know, you don't want to necessarily put that on your team. So you got to remember, like, anything LeBron says, that's the Lakers saying. And I feel like maybe from the Lakers' perspective, he didn't want to put that on his team. But I retweeted it before it got deleted. And I said, look, this is why I love social media. I knew that this was a tweet that had deletable potential. And I was like, ooh, get your popcorn. I like it like this. Like, I like when players talk. So that's what's up.
And LeBron, you're saying he doesn't want to offend whom? Why wouldn't you? You could join LeBron in Los Angeles. The expectation is we are here to win a championship or leave. Like, what? He's not going to raise the pressure any on his teammates by saying or doing anything. The pressure's there just because he's there.
Yeah, I think the pressure is more like there's social media, there's the media, and then there's real life. And so I think he's trying to navigate that. Look, I didn't even think that tweet could be possibly deleted, but I didn't think he really would. I mean, obviously, you know, in the past when it was the thing involving more serious topics, those could be, but who cares? Of course they say that. Like, everybody's reading everything that everyone wrote. The Lakers are old. He was listing everything everyone said. So I think he should have kept it up. We already are screenshotted anyway. We all got it. Look, we're talking about it right now. What's the point in deleting it now?
I think he was hacked because the hashtag he used, thank you, it was only two words. Very un-LeBron-like.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Hacker.
I don't know. I mean, I don't think he was hacked. But if he was to say he was hacked, that would be circa 2018, and I'd be here for it.
Well, what's Nick Bosa's racist girlfriend going to say about her Twitter account, since I am scrolling through Twitter accounts now? And I have said before, something that made me uncomfortable a long time ago. I remember this happened with Brett Favre's sister. She was arrested for shoplifting. And I was wondering, family dynamics are so complicated. And just because you're running around there with a name, is it even fair to stain someone based on what their significant other or a family member does? And so now, as we go through the social media accounts of people who are famous and who they're dating or who's in their family, we found some stuff with Nick Bosa's girlfriend she's using the N-word, and it's something that is making a whole lot of people wince. And I think at this point, if you're going to be doing that publicly in a new social media age, Renee, all of this stuff ends up being fair game. You are going to get stained by the people you're with, especially in this America, as divided as we are. And we're going to go through your stuff, and we're going to go through the stuff of the people near you.
Are we supposed to believe that he doesn't know she's racist? Is that what we're trying to? Because I just find it hard to believe that somebody could tell me something about somebody that I'm with that I didn't already have a little inkling about. Like, it might not have been confirmed until like it came out like this, but I just find it hard to believe. Like, you know your family best. Like, that's what they always say. So if you got that crazy uncle, I know, at the cookout, you guys look out for my crazy uncle. He acts a little crazy. Like, you know that. So I think that there's the part of maybe we don't need to blame them for the actions of their family, but I would assume that their family knows.
This isn't surprising, really, when it comes to Nick Bosa, who's been in his own social media controversy, who is liking Instagram posts that contain homophobic and racist language previously. He had directed some tweets that were problematic towards Beyonce and Jay-Z and Draymond Green. This is in line with what many people believe about Nick Bosa.
Did you say Beyonce?
Yeah.
Like, I was like, all the other stuff I heard you, but when you said Beyonce, I'm like, oh, he's like, again, dangerous games. I don't understand what he could have said about Beyonce. So that's when I know things must be a little off over there. That's all I'll say. I just think things might not be aligned with real America if he's saying something about our Beyonce.
I'm curious to see what Nick Bosa's defense is. He's probably going to have to answer for this, whether you think that's fair or not. But Nick Bosa's reaction to the social media controversy that he stepped in when he was drafted by the Niners was, that's not who I am now. Well, who you are now is you're dating this person. So what say you?
I think that, you know, here's the thing. Actions speak, and for you're attracted to certain things. So for me, that probably is where the attraction, the common mutuality, like we have a common agreement on something, that's what people attract to. So I think birds of a feather sometimes can flock together. But if you're dating somebody, I'm sorry, and they have such strong beliefs, it's so hard to mesh if you don't believe some of the same things. I just find it hard to believe.
All right, let's do this the more difficult way, though. Let's put it in your huddle on your team. You're a leader. You're a point guard. You're somebody who believes in things. Now let's make this what it is. He's in a huddle and a locker room filled with black dudes who now have this information. Do they know that this is what he is, and are they good with this and his girlfriend being what he is? Because I would imagine that's real uncomfortable.
You know, I think that people would be surprised how much uncomfortability are in sports. I think that there's a lot of uncomfortable things. People have owners that have different beliefs than they do. I mean, people have coaches that support, especially now in this very visible day and age where we can pretty much know who people are voting for. We can know, you know, if they're Republican, Democrat. I think that there's a lot of uncomfortable situations in sports always. And I think that's what makes athletes athletes. So me being myself, I make light of everything. So let's say we got a racist person, you know, in our locker room, I'll be like, all right, let's all put the race down. You know, I make jokes about everything. So I'd be like, hey, let's all put the race down and just have a good game. Like, I would just bring it to the forefront so that it wouldn't be the elephant in the room. But athletes have dealt with worse. I can tell you that athletes have dealt with not liking a person, generally have fought them the night before and have a big game the next day. So this is on par.
If your best player is racist,
oh my gosh,
Renee is continually just throwing that person the ball. We're teammates. I know that this person is racist, but this is my best, because Bosa's great. He's not good. Yeah. He's great. I don't know how this gets navigated in a locker room in this America, Renee, and the things going on right now where you're like, wait a minute, you choose the other side on this. You're seeing everything happening in America right now, given all of the things that we're enduring. And Nick Bosa in my locker room fighting for you in the ultimate team sport, you choose the other side.
Well, see, that's the kind of guy that you can always tell who players ride with. And people that know sports know, if you see a player get in a scuffle, see how many of their teammates run to take their back. Or if you see something happen to a player, like Trae Young got checked walking to halftime, Trae shook it off, but then you saw Solo from our team, Solomon Hill, he checked the guy that tried to check Trae. That's when you start to see those, you're talking about those bonding things where, nah, you're not about to do that on our watch. Situations like with Nick, people might not be so fast to run and stand behind him if an altercation breaks out. That's where you start to see, oh, well, maybe his team ain't riding with him like he thought they were. But you can tell teams that have that good chemistry. So you can still be successful, still have a teammate that you pass to, share the ball with, win with. But it shows up in situations that are more subtle than you would think.
You're going to Summer League right now. I want to know what you're looking forward to, what the reputation. I thought this is a big party. Are you going to be crazy for 10 days? Like, how does this work?
This is my first party then. I don't know. I never been before, but now that I look at the people that are calling the games and who's going to be there, it does sound a little bit lit now that you mention it. My Vegas party is the show, so I'm definitely getting to some of the shows, but I'll call two games one day, and then they spread it out a little bit. So I'm probably going to turn up if that's what you ask, and there might be a little turn up. I don't turn up at the clubs, though. I turn up at, like, Gordon Ramsay's restaurant. I turn up at the Blue Man Group. That's my turn up.
Okay, so that's it. You're turning up.
You run the
up.
Stratosphere coaster?
Come on now, that's my turn up.
All right, let's
circus,
do this.
Circus?
Let's do this through Vegas. You tell us are you going to do Cirque du Soleil? What are your play weaknesses? Where are you going to end up?
All right, so since you said plays, I got to do a shameless plug. The play that I'm a producer of on Broadway, Passover Broadway, launched yesterday, their first performances. Dope, sold out, turned out lit, but I am a sucker for shows. And 2 weeks ago, I went to Motown Hits when I was there for WNBA All-Star, and we went to the Criss Angels Magic Show. Now, I didn't know that that's more alternative, so I realized that that's not my turn up. So I would say I'm more of the music show turn up and not necessarily maybe the magic stuff.
Didn't we have an outbreak here, a fight, because we're very divided on how we feel about magic?
Yeah.
Oh, do you believe in magic?
Oh, she's going to singing again after.
Oh, sorry. I told you I like music.
You don't like the Mind Freak?
Okay, so yeah, I went to Criss Angels' Mind Freak show. My sister got brought on stage, by the way, so that felt close, and I was concerned because he brings out weird stuff on stage, but it was just a different vibe. The music was really, like, loud. It was alternative music, the lights, it was like a rave. It was like really a party. But yeah, I was there with my parents, my fiance. It was like a family vibe. My parents are God-fearing people too, so I was the whole time.
Hold on. When he levitated, your parents were praying for him.
It felt very not church-like, and I was like, ooh, Lord, like, I didn't know. I thought we were just going to go watch some magic, so that's not bad.
Renee, I need to understand this. You thought you were taking your parents to a good old-fashioned traditional magic show. There's going to be a rabbit pulled out of a hat.
Yes! I thought it was going to be be something cool where like he levitates all over the place. And like, I thought it was going to be like, I saw him levitate Shaq before. I guess there's no trailers for shows, are there? But I never seen the trailer for the show, so I didn't know what I was getting into.
Did he sing with his band? Because sometimes he does that. He like,
ooh, magic. Did he sing?
Pictionary. That distraction there was Jessica deciding that she was going to play Pictionary there while we are trying to talk to her about the important subject of magic.
Pulled a rabbit out of the hat. To be descriptive, Dan, there was a rabbit pulled out of the hat that she drew.
Last week over Zoom, I can understand maybe it's hard to read a room. You're literally in the room right now, Jess. Read it, please.
I was told to do Pictionary. To that point, I thought I was going to a normal show. I just really did. It was really wild. And then all of a sudden it was a rave. I went to a rave and I didn't know.
Were you the teenager next to his or her parents during a sex scene at the movies because the magic because the magic is not what you were signing up for? And your parents, you said they were God-fearing people. All of a sudden, was it risque? Because when you're saying it's a rave, nobody takes their parents to a rave except Mike and his dad.
Yeah, no, I was the kid that even if I was 13, we can't watch PG-13 because that's too mature for their 13-year-olds. So that, no, I didn't see sex scenes with my parents. Are you kidding me? Yeah, right. That's hilarious. That's hilarious. What?
All right. So this was a very disciplined childhood. This was a God-fearing West Virginia childhood that had no rebellion allowed in it.
Oh, let me tell you how far we rebelled. We didn't really do Halloween because that's not our thing. So we went to church on Halloween. We had fall festival and we dressed up as biblical characters. So yeah, I was like, just to let y'all know how locked in we were, that's we're on that level.
Are Halloween festivities the work of the devil? How God-fearing?
Yeah, I'm not really sure. Or if we just, our church just threw a party every Halloween. It just so happened that on every Halloween we were at church and not necessarily. We celebrated in school and stuff, but I'm just trying to give you a background on why sex scenes would never happen with the parentals and definitely why Chris Angel's wasn't the most comfortable situation for me.
Which biblical characters did you dress up as for Halloween / All Saints Day, whatever it was?
I thought you'd never ask. I shut it down when I was married. So I came through as Jesus's mom one time. And let me tell you, baby, we had our whole family that was like a group. We rolled deep and we had three wise women one time because it's me, and we have two other sisters. So yeah, you couldn't have told us that we were missing anything. I would like to add that, by the way. But as an adult, I celebrated my first Halloween 3 years ago because the fiance is her favorite holiday. Who would have thought? Life is a funny thing.
Jesus's mom, I want to hear more about this. You've clearly been waiting for this question your entire life. Please, somebody ask me about what I wore for Halloween.
Oh, man. No one really talks about Halloween. So it's not like people, I don't even know if very many people would know this about me. But yeah, I started celebrating Halloween in my adult age and we went all out. But when I was married, I just felt like I was very prestigious because I was a kid that was Jesus's mom. And in my kid brain, I was like, yeah, I can hold this. Like, I felt like I could hold that role, right? I carried myself. I was in entertainment young, I think, because I got all the way in character. I was prestigious. I'm Jesus's mom. Don't talk to me like that.
You were a character actor all evening. You were a method actor. You were Jesus's mom that evening.
I was all the way in character. I mean, I get in character all the time. I have no problem with that. Like, I go all in. And so, yeah, when I was married and I was looking at people too, like, don't judge me, because I knew a lot of people probably felt that I didn't have Jesus like by immaculate whatever, you know. So I had that whole demeanor, that chip on my shoulder too. Like, yes, this is Jesus, baby. Don't try me. Yeah, I was all of that.
Okay, so arrogant Jesus's mom, defiant, like what you were playing the
character. Defensive Jesus's mom, because people didn't believe that this was Jesus in my belly, but I knew it, you know? So I'm just trying to put you in the psyche, you know? Actors have to do that, so I'm just trying to get you there.
It seems a bit hostile, though. It seems
ooh, like- pumpkin, latte, Starbucks, pumpkin spice. Latte, pumpkin spice.
Got it.
Yes! Woo! Sorry, Dan. That happened.
Have you ever seen Carrot Top?
Carrot Top, the actor? He has a show out there.
Yeah, in Vegas. It's one of the longest running ones. And this would seem like it'd be down. No, it's for you. Trust me, everybody goes into a Carrot Top show kind of being dragged into it like, this is not for me. And
really?
It's a good show.
It's a good show.
And your
every
parents
time.
Would have liked it. It would have been a clean show.
For real?
It would have had some corny in it. But your parents certainly would have liked it better than that demon witchcraft magic thing that you were watching.
Then Carrot Top is on the menu then. That's what I'm going back to Vegas next week. It's on the menu. I'm going to let y'all know if it's not up to par, because Blue Man Group is and Cirque du Soleil is the standard for me.
So I was going to say, at Bellagio, Cirque du Soleil has to be. Do you have a ranking? You want to go through your favorite Cirque du Soleil experiences? Because that's the best thing going. I don't think there's a show out there that's going to be a lot better than
O.
Did you really?
What?
I can promise you.
Oh, no, you didn't.
A lot of people have had this. Don't ever do that again, Chris.
Don't do that again.
Yeah. This has been a thing that I've run into. I've had a lot of shared experiences. I say that about O, and oftentimes I get, that happened to me too. It's a slow starting show, and in Vegas you're going so hard, you might be a little jet lagged.
Oh, he was hungover.
It didn't do enough in the beginning to hold my attention, so I missed a large portion of it because it was a proper place to take a nap.
Wow. So yes, some shows have slower starts. I feel like you were hungover, and that's not the place to go if you've consumed any alcohol. But I would say the Michael Jackson experience would be second from the top. I like the water one. I don't know the exact name of it. The water one was dope. And then Blue Man Group is like right under there. Blue Man Group, I could literally go back every single time I go and enjoy the show, even though I've seen it. So to me, that's what makes the show like rise up. If I can keep watching it, like your favorite movie, you can keep watching it over and over and enjoy it, see something different every time. That's it for me.
Do you like having dinner and a show, a dining experience that entertains you, say one like you would have at the Rainforest Cafe quarter hour?
The worst.
Gosh.
What?
No, that sounds basic. That's kind of basic. I mean, in a sense of, you talking about the Rainforest Cafe?
Are you alleging? I want to get all the polls. I'm going to get Renee out on this. Get some of the polls ready and let's update the polls. I just want to ask her questions about all our polls. But you, it seems like, are daring to say, blaspheming that the Rainforest Cafe is overrated. You're willing to be?
She called it basic.
Yeah, because are we comparing it to like a dinner and a show, or just going to the Rainforest Cafe and getting both at the same time? Oh, yeah, no. I got to get the show. Dinner and a show. I went to Gordon Ramsay, and then we went to Motown Hits after that, and my night couldn't have been better.
But have you ever been to Medieval Times?
I would love to go. I know
exactly. It's so awesome.
Is that like in the murder mystery ones, too, where you have to engage? Those are different as well. Rainforest Cafe, that's what I mean. Like, I have to have activities.
What? Did you
get a knight that you represent? You have to cheer for their color. They joust. It's incredible, Renee. You'll love it.
The chicken leg, eat it with your hands.
Turkey leg.
Yeah, they have no no silverware, because there was no silverware in medieval times. Hence, there's no silverware at Medieval Times, even though they have Pepsi.
I'm here for it. See, I like that experience of it all. I just think Rainforest Cafe, I got to get a show, though. We got to get a dinner and a show.
You're right about everything that you're saying, Renee.
I felt like that was the minority decision. Like, I'm like,
well,
what?
You're just not right around here, but it's not because the judgment's any good. It's Chris, the guy who's saying that it's overrated, he vacationed at SeaWorld this year. You're not talking about us being at the height of class and elegance around here. We're kind of.
Oh, wow.
We're kind of not great at this stuff. So it's pretty trashy, the Rainforest Cafe. I think that people can agree to that, but now Billy's offended and now he's hurt.
Trashy? Again. I mean, come on.
Don't eat the Cajun pasta. Do not eat the Cajun pasta.
What? According to the poll, we asked, is the Rainforest Cafe overrated? 80.1% of fans said yes.
Properly rated.
Good job.
Oh, wow.
And then we asked, will the Cajun pasta at Rainforest Cafe do damage to your stomach for hours? 91.1% said yes.
The Gacky.
Wow. So there's that. So I felt like I was saying the unpopular choice, but now, okay. So
now you're feeling good about
this
yourself.
This show is like a real mind freak.
You're a trendsetter.
Hey.
There you go. I just said the joke.
At Levitard Show on Twitter. Billy, can you read Fake Stugatz? We haven't heard from him this week. Can you just, I've been waiting for Fake Stugatz all week. Stugatz is on vacation here for a few weeks, but Can you get some poll questions to ask Renee that you think would be a way to send her off into summer league? As she's, I did think that that was going to be a more of a party than you're describing it as.
I'm sure there will be.
No nightclubs. No, she was alarmed.
She does
and
the
with
essential,
her parents at a rave.
She does like the basic first time at Las Vegas trip. It seems as though every time, like, are you still wowed by the Bellagio fountains? And like, this is a free show.
I do stop and look at them. So if that's what you mean, yeah. Like, I literally went to Vegas last week and I will stop next week and watch the fountain. That's just me.
Did you ever see the pirate show at TI?
I have not.
Well, the pirate show is like a free show. It's even better than
you
the fountains.
You haven't lived. Back when see, this is why I love Rainforest Cafe. I got, because I'm a child of the 90s. I love theme restaurants. And when I would go to Vegas when I was young, and every hotel was a theme hotel. And they had, it was Treasure Island at the time. They then made it hip by calling it TI in a move that damn near never worked from the outset. And they used to have an amazing pirate show.
All right, I'll add it to the list.
Renee, here's a poll from Tuesday that I don't think you'll appreciate. Did you think that Lou Brock was white?
Who?
Lou Brock.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Oh, no. It's okay. She doesn't have to know who Lou Brock is. It's a 1960s baseball player.
It did not go the way that I thought it would.
No, it did not go the way.
Pass.
I'd like to see Roy chastise her, though. You got some smart-ass
Roy,
comment,
we're
Roy?
We're family, Roy. Stop being like that.
She doesn't even know who Lou Brock is. You got something smart to say?
Tag Roy, you're in for me. Answer it.
Because you were quick with a hammer when I made the mistake by saying I had to be reminded that he was not a white guy.
Where's real?
He was a stolen base king before Ricky. Roy, what are we talking about?
Oh yeah, the stolen base king.
Number one, Roy, shame on you for projecting a stereotype that black people are faster than white people.
Real
How dare you, sir?
Is what we're striving for here, Roy.
Because we are.
No, and no, you have
you are
to.
Out of line.
You have to come at her with the same energy that you came at Mike when Mike at least knew who Lou Brock was. He didn't know what his ethnicity was, but at least he knew who he was. Come at her with the same strength. You eviscerated Mike.
Keep that same energy. Clap
Stop
emoji.
Stop shaming Roy. If Roy can, this is Roy. Do whatever you would like to do, Roy. Hey, right, Roy, speak for me, Roy.
Well, I don't even know if Renee likes baseball, and Mike knows a little bit about baseball.
Get
so
out
that.
Of here. Yeah. I think I know what's baseball. Happening.
See,
I know
there you
what's
go.
Happening.
She doesn't know baseball.
I'm
so
not with it one bit.
No, this is not fair. What's happened around here?
Wow, he stood up out of his chair. He feels serious about this.
Because it doesn't feel like equality. It doesn't feel like equality. This is a new time in America, and this feels wrong. What's happening here?
Well, he's standing up because he was embarrassed for not knowing.
And I was embarrassed.
Are you a baseball guy? I'm with Roy here. You know what? Are you a baseball guy? Because if you are, I don't know if you have the same shield I might have.
Yeah, no, what's going on here is I'm a baseball guy. You're right. That's what's happening here. He jumped down my throat because I'm a baseball guy. Something that I haven't been accused of being in 20 goddamn years.
Yeah.
But I have.
Yeah, but you were, weren't you? 20 years ago, weren't you?
Because I am a white Hispanic. Don't lie. That's what happened. That's what happened. You had an ally in the Zoom and you were kind to her. I demand an apology.
I feel like I'm watching.
Wow, y'all shame people for being nice here?
Mm-hmm. It's disgusting. Despicable.
I want the same kindness. I think I'm entitled to it.
You thought Dave Kingman was black, Mike.
Well, that was the next one I was going to.
Down my throat.
What's
you
the
missed
question?
The artistic
I'll answer.
Bunt.
What's the next question, Billy? I'm ready.
Do you miss the artistic bunt?
Is this baseball, Dad?
Yes, it is baseball. Why are you asking these, Billy? You just want to be an anarchist here, too? It's not bad enough.
Blackjack!
It's not bad enough. She's playing Pictionary.
You want Pictionary!
That was a
is punting on life so bad?
Where is fake Stugatz?
That's football.
Where is fake Stugatz? Will you do something that you're asked to do? One thing other than
is
being
Kyle
an anarchist
Lowry a 12-pound bass you can make a couple meals out of?
Excuse me? That's my homie. What up, Cal?
We said Miami was whale hunting, and they didn't get a whale. They got a 12-pound bass that you can make a couple of meals out
of. Pass.
It can't be the argument, that's my homie. What kind of analysis is that?
Certainly that's the not. Homie. I wanted to shout him out since we talking about it. What up, Kyle? K-Law 7 was good.
No, but we need to know whether Kyle Lowry to the Heat is good, not that's my homie.
Yeah, he's good. We good over here. That's the bro. What's up?
We need to know if he's a 12-pound bass you can get a couple meals out of.
I don't understand the question.
It's a totally fair response from her. Renee, enjoy Las Vegas. Thank you.
Thanks.
See you later.
What was the 10 and the king?
It was blackjack.
No, that's not blackjack.
No.
It's 20.
Oh, no, it's ace. It's ace.
It's two cards. Yeah. Together, like you're playing blackjack.
No, but
you're so right.
Blackjack is 21.
Whittingham, you're so right. That's not blackjack. That's just a 20. That's just cards.
I wasn't drawing like the winning hand. I was just drawing the cards.
It was 21 is blackjack. When you get 21, you say I have blackjack.
It's Pictionary. Like you don't have to draw it exactly. I was
just trying to convey something.
Yeah, exactly.
What are you trying to convey? A 20.
Blackjack, and she got it right away.
And why wouldn't you draw an ace anyway? That's the most famous card of the deck.
I don't know. I didn't think of it, Roy. I was on I had a deadline.
Yeah.
Let's examine the inefficiency in how easy it is to draw an ace. You've got all 10 suits up. You did a 10 very specifically. It wasn't just a 10. It had all of the suits on it, all 10 of them.
The king was actually harder to draw, Dan, with a Sharpie. I had to Google.
She's right.
Mike is still back here just fuming at Roy.
That was such bullshit.
Listen here. How can you confuse Dave Kingman with either Dave Winfield
yourself.
Or Dave Stewart? Come on, get out of here.
Don't defend. I know exactly what happened there. And you
do, too.
And that makes it worse. And you're smiling at it. You're smiling at it.
I caught you in a racial bias.
You, racial bias. Of all people, someone that is so publicly for all cultures as an inclusive individual, you left me out there to dry.
Let me tell you something. I'm going to defend black women every day of the week, Mike. And I'm sorry that you...
Monday, Tuesday.
That's right. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Twice on Sundays.
There you go, Roy.
Deal with it.
Respect.
Collateral damage, Mike. That's what you are.
I don't think you guys are even addressing the fact that it's not just black that he did there in the name of equality. He also sided with a gender specifically in a way that he's never sided with any of us.
Oh, stop peeling back the layers of this onion, Dan Levitard. He backed his friend Renee. And he took the opportunity to stab me in the back with a kitchen knife that had still lodged into my spine. You were mean, and I will humbly accept an apology that I'm waiting for to be delivered right now.
Okay, well, I will give you that apology the week after never.
Oh,
you're just collateral damage.
Oh, my God. Wow. The week after never.
This seems like a cool kids club that I want in.
Not on never. Not a week after that.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call. Click Grainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.